Oh, wow. It's time for Dear Science, thanks to MOTAT, Auckland's Museum of Transport and Technology.
And I should say, too, though, because we have such a packed show, I might have to keep this segment quite tight, Alan. but a new neighbour in the solar system, what does this mean?
Well, okay, so, you know, dare I ask you to recite the planets in order?
Oh, I do know this one.
There we go.
Wait, my mum taught me penis jam ever made or something like that. She made it up, I think, herself at school.
I think that's
Pluto,
going backwards, yeah.
Neptune.
Yep.
Uranus.
Yep.
Saturn.
Mm-hmm.
Jupiter.
Yeah.
Mercury.
No.
Oh. Mars. Sorry.
Yeah.
M. Yep. The man.
Yep.
Jupiter.
Yep.
Mars.
Mm-hmm.
Earth.
Yep.
Venus.
Yep.
Mercury.
There we go. Okay. And that's what we learned in school. And what we also learned in school was that the closest planet to Earth is Venus.
Yes.
Okay. But in fact, it's not.
Since when, though? Has this always been the case?
Well, since the last 10,000 years, in fact. So it depends on what you mean by the closest, mm-hmm. I guess. And so these people have published a paper in a journal called Physics Today. And what they've done is that they have averaged the distances between all of the planets over the last 10,000 years. And if you average the distance, so if you're looking at the closest average distance between the planets, Mercury is our closest neighbour.
So, okay, so they're measuring it differently though, right?
No, they're not really, because okay, you've got to take into account the fact that the planets are rotating around
all the time.
The sun, and it's sometimes they are a very long way away from us, like Venus, which is supposedly the closest one, can be on the opposite side of the sun from us, which puts it a long way away from us. Okay, and Mercury also can be on the other side of the sun, but not so far away from us. Okay. And in fact, it transpires that if you do the maths and you take all that into account, then on average, the closest planet to Earth is Mercury. And the reason it's the closest planet to Earth is because it's got the smallest distance from the sun itself. Okay? And if you imagine our distance from the sun as being invariant, then our distance from Mercury doesn't vary very much.
Okay.
Now, even more amazing, what's the closest planet to all of the other planets?
How does that work?
Mercury.
What?
Mercury is the closest planet to all other planets for that exact same reason.
Right,
in that it's closest to the sun, and so therefore its distance, when it's on the other side of the sun, its distance is not very far, is not much further away than it is if it's on the same side of the sun. So that is, there you go, there's something to change everybody's idea of the solar system. And they call it the Whirly-Durly Corollary.
Okay.
Apparently.
What a name.
It's after Rick and Morty, apparently.
I've never
seen Rick and Morty, I'm sorry.
Popular culture influencing science.
Yeah, there you go.
So also, let's just stay in space. There was apparently a huge meteor that exploded above Earth.
There was, and everybody missed it.
Why? This is a terrible joke. Was it nighttime?
Oh, gosh, you still got it. Goodness.
Still got it. But no, seriously, why did we miss it?
Because it exploded over the Bering Sea, which is out in the middle of nowhere.
Okay.
So this meteor hit the Earth and exploded with a power of around about 10 Hiroshima bombs. So that's not small. And it was around about, they think, about 10 metres in diameter. So it's not very big, about 10 metres. And it was travelling at around about 30-odd kilometres per second when it hit the atmosphere. And then, of course, obviously, when it hits the atmosphere, it slows down extraordinarily rapidly. This creates an enormous amount of friction, and the whole thing just sort of blows itself apart. And this was sort of spotted, apparently, by spy satellites and by a whole lot of sort of listening posts around the world. But nobody actually saw this. And if you think back to about 5 or 6 years ago in Chelyabinsk, do you remember seeing on YouTube and stuff like that? There was a meteor that exploded over a Russian city, and all of the windows went out, and this thing was like 20 times brighter than the sun and stuff. And so this was comparable to that, but everybody missed it, and so they're just sort of starting to talk about it now. And what they're doing is they're going back now apparently and asking airline pilots whether they saw anything at that stage, because apparently it sort of came in close to airline routes from.
So when did this actually happen?
Just before Christmas last year. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, so. Kind of interesting.
Good luck figuring that one out.
And so it, on the grand scheme of things, it's a small object. You can imagine what would happen if we get something that's a kilometre across or something like that. It'd be the dinosaurs all over again, right. Sort of thing. So,
okay, and last story for the day. Yes. A subconscious magnetic sense. Does this mean we're adding to our five senses?
Ah. Oh, very good. I didn't think of that. Yeah, possibly. I guess the jury's still out. But so when birds migrate and they fly these enormous distances, how do they find their way? And, it was thought that maybe they're using the sun or something like that. But eventually it's sort of been proven that they use the Earth's magnetic field. That they've got some way that they can sense the Earth's magnetic field and they can get direction from that. And so everything apparently from pigeons to turtles use magnetic fields, so they can sense that when they're going wherever. Apparently cows in a field, no pun intended, will align with the Earth's magnetic field. Okay, apparently. And even better, this one's good, dogs prefer to defecate and urinate when they are aligned with the Earth's magnetic field. They did a study, I kid you not.
So this is animals. What do humans do?
Well, there we go. So animals have obviously got some way of sensing magnetic fields that's not certain that humans do. So somebody's done an experiment, of course, and they've put them into a six-sided container, which is equipped with some electrical coils and stuff that can generate a magnetic field. And then they aligned them sitting due north, turn all the lights out and everything like that, and then they stuck electrodes on their brains looking for brain waves and stuff. And what they would do is basically looking at the brain waves both in the presence of and the absence of a magnetic field and what happens when they rotate the plane of the magnetic field. And what they found was, apparently, amongst 34 people, which was their study size, that there were definitely changes in the brain waves when the magnetic field was rotated, so that they could figure that something was going on with that magnetic field. And while there might not have been an obvious reaction to it in terms of the humans themselves, on their subconscious level, I guess, something was certainly happening there. And they think what might be happening is that the cells in our bodies that contain unpaired electrons, because that's what you need for magnetism. Magnetism's all about electrons that are by themselves, solitary electrons that don't pair up with other ones. And they're thinking that the cells in the body that contain those unpaired electrons are somehow aligning themselves with the magnetic field. So if you change the direction of the magnetic field, then those cells are going to align themselves differently, and somehow we can sense that, or at least our brain can sense that anyway.
So what does that mean?
Well, again, as you say, it might mean that we've got another sense that we're not yet perhaps aware of. So
Need to take into account, I guess.
Yeah.
When we find out more, I suppose.
So more research is needed. Yeah. Of course. That's always the case. Of course.
Okay. All right. Well, we might leave it there if that's all right.
No, that's absolutely fine, Lynn.
I guess I just want to make a point about what I said earlier about normalcy, and that a lot of people won't be feeling that right now, and it's quite a privilege in some ways to be able to maintain some normalcy. So I guess that's something to take into account.
I think it's absolutely vital. I really do. And if we don't sort of return to normalcy, then they win.
Well, also though, something does have to change. Things have to change.
I totally agree. Yeah. I totally agree with you on that. I really, really do. And they will.
Yeah.
Nothing surer. So,
great.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you, Alan.
Okay, thanks.
Have a great week.
Yeah, you too. Take it easy.
Mind blowing. That was Dear Science, thanks to MOTAT, Auckland's Museum of Transport and Technology. Need to